world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room. Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day so far. Hopefully you done got your day off to a good start. Hopefully you was able to get you a devotion in. You was able to read some scripture. Yeah, read a little scripture and have a little prayer in the morning when you get up. Hopefully you was able to tune in earlier this morning to the In Your Corner broadcast, In Your Corner, our devotional broadcast, where we get up early in the morning and we'll give you scripture, song, and prayer. Yeah, scripture, song, and prayer. And then we'll come right after that, the bottom half of that hour, we have a good sermon. So hopefully you was able to tune in during the In Your Corner hour. Got your devotion and got you a good sermon in, and to try to inspire you the rest of the day. All right. Today, though, we got a wonderful program. This is our week in review. This is where we look back. This is where we look back on where we've been this week. Try to get some of you caught up. We do realize sometimes you can't listen every day to to the Situation Room. So we try to get you caught back up, just in case you miss one day, because every day is important, and every day we do something different. Like, you know, on Mondays, we'll do the hot topic on Monday, and on Tuesday, we'll do the marriage question. On Wednesday, we do Bible questions, and on Thursday, we do Sunday school. So every day is different here in the Situation Room. All right. Now, just in case you do have a hot topic, a Bible course, a marriage course, and a course pertaining to Christian life, you can send them in at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call them in at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right, like I said, this is our weekend review day, and on Monday, we looked at how churches hurt themselves, and that was an article that was published in the Baptist Standard. That's a newspaper, but you can go online too. They have it online, but that's a newspaper that's published by the, I believe, the Southern Baptist Convention. And one of the writers, Tom Eckrich, he used to be a pastor, now he's a consultant, he's a church consultant. And but he's a very experienced man in the ministry, and he wrote an article about five ways churches inflict pain on themselves. Five ways that churches inflict pain on themselves. And he started out the article saying, let's be clear, that much herald decline of Christianity in America isn't about God losing faith in humankind. And then he says it isn't about losing our moral compass thanks to whatever you happen to loaf it. It isn't about the frickle millennium. That's those kids that was, are those young people, those young families, the people that's in their 20s. They call them the millenniums. And he says that it's not because of, you know, them being frickle that you can say the church is hurting itself. But he more or less says that the church is hurting its own self. We are inflicting our own wounds and everything. And he gives five ways that churches are hurting themselves. And we'll just go over them. He says, number one, we stop trying. We stop trying. He said, for a time, religious institutions in America were bold risk takers. Then we settled into the maintenance mode because it felt safe and comfortable. And so we fought over churchy things that didn't matter, because the things that did matter, racism, inequality, corporate thievery, obsession with money and sex, cut too close to home. So we just preferred to fuss and fight over the carpet in the church, the color of the pews, the color of the drapes, different things like that, stuff that really didn't matter or make much sense. And we avoided the issues like racism and inequality and obsession with money and sex and all of that. And so those topics we just stayed away from. Mm-hmm. And so we quit being bold risk takers. We quit being bold. You know, it used to be the church used to speak out and speak up against racism and inequality and sex and money and whatever, you know, greed and things like. But you don't hear no, when the last time you heard a sermon on greed, being greedy, you know? Now, I know in our Sunday school lesson, we're going to deal with that later on, but when did the last time you don't heard a preacher preach against those kinds of things? Most of the time, they don't preach against stuff like that. Most of the time, they go the opposite direction. Is name it and claim it and blab it and grab it today. So the church done got to be greedy in itself. And so he says, number one, we done stop trying. The church don't step out in faith anymore and take risks. Then number two, he said, we done stopped giving. We done stopped giving. Over the past 50 years, our giving done dropped by more than half as a percentage of family income. We have starved our churches of resources. When tough budget choices have to be made, the facility we won't usually defeat the mission God won't. Yeah. So we done stopped giving. We done stopped giving as a church. People in the church don't give like they used to. And then we have turned inward. We done turned inward. Just as the American houses. And I like what he says about this. He used the analogy of long ago, you used to have front porches. And you used to could get to know your neighbors because your neighbors could come over to your house and they would just sit on the front porch. And you can go from house to house and sit on people's front porch. But then we decided to eliminate the front porch, and then we went to the back porch and we put up the private fence, and so we have become included now, and secluded, I'm sorry. And that's how it is at church today. At church today, we have turned inward. Rather than going out to the community and inviting the community to come in, basically, we're just having fellowship among ourselves there in the church. So we done turn inward rather than turning outward. You know, the scripture tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then it says we done got fixated on Sunday morning. And, you know, long ago, everything used to shut down on Sundays. But because of blue laws, you couldn't hardly go and buy hardly anything on Sunday. The hardly any stores was open. But today, people are working on Sundays. A lot of people can't come to church like they used to on Sunday because of their work schedule. And if a church is just counting on doing everything on Sunday, then they're going to miss a whole group of people out there who can't make it on Sunday. And so churches who only have one service, he's saying that you're hurting yourself. And then he goes on further. He says, we trash our reputation. He said, we became known as judgmental, angry, self-serving, snugs, boring, and old. As far as the people outside can tell, we live to fight, we think too highly of ourselves, and we are more scores. And so what he's saying here, well, actually, that's self-explanatory. When a church get a bad reputation in the community, then a lot of people ain't no want to go there. They're not going to want to go to and be around angry people and boring people and old people and cold people and stuff like that. So we're bringing it on ourselves. And so these are the five things. These are the five things. Number one, we stop trying. Number two, we stop giving. Number three, we turn inward. Number four, we fixated on Sunday morning. And then number five, we trash our reputation. All right, those are the five things there of how churches hurt themselves. All right, let's move on now a little bit further. On Tuesday, we dealt with marriage questions. We dealt with marriage questions. And both of these questions here, I got from the most part from, I was listening to another Christian radio station, and they had a lady that called in for advice. She said that she was 23 years old and had been married for 2 years, and she still liked to go out to the nightclub. But now she said when she go to the nightclub, she don't drink, she don't smoke, you know, she don't do all those bad things, but she like to dance. She loves to dance. And she got permission from her husband. She asked her husband, you know, was it okay for her to go to the nightclub? And he told her, yeah. But one of her Christian friends told her that Christians shouldn't be going to no nightclub. That's not a place that Christians ought to go. And so she was calling in and was asking the listeners, is it okay for Christians to go to the nightclub? Well, some of the callers was telling her that it was okay. It's okay for Christians to go to the nightclub. Matter of fact, some of them even said that they were still going to the nightclub. And but some called in and said, nah, it's not okay, because that's going to be a bad witness. You're going to look more and more like a hypocrite. I mean, they're going to see you at the nightclub. I mean, you at the nightclub on Friday and Saturday, but then you at church on Sunday, that's not going to look right. That's not going to go over well. But the thing, when I looked at this question, I just had a couple of problems with the question. Because I question her sincere love. Even though she may be, a child of God, she seemed to be immature in her love for the Lord, as well as even her love for her husband. Because, listen, when God done bought you out of something, then particularly God done saved you from your sins, then why go back to him? Why go back to him? When God done got you out of the dirt and done cleaned you up and what have you, why go back and get all dirty again? You know, I use the example of a house on fire. The only time you'll see a person, if a house is on fire, the only time you see a person go back into that house is when they done left something that they really, really love in that house. Maybe a pet, it may be a person, you know. It's something that they really, 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 really love, a person or a thing. And that's the only time you see a person go back into a burning a house. In the same way, if God done save you from a burning hell, well, why go back? That tells me you must love your sin more than you love God. Or in her case, I don't think that she even see this as a sin. But you know, the Bible says over in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it tells us to lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now notice, he says here, lay aside every weight. There are some things that's not necessarily a sin, but they are a weight. There are some things that are slow you down. See, if you getting ready to run let's say you finna run the 440-yard dash, and that's, you know, that's one time, that's one lap around the track field. You wouldn't go and put on a big pack sack and put on a whole lot of other stuff. No. You would script down. You wouldn't put on a pack sack and army boots. And even though you love your army boots, even though you love what you got in your pack sack and all of that, you wouldn't put all of that stuff in your pack sack and your army boots. Mm-mm. No, you would script down to just like these runners. These runners, they just have a little thin shirt on, and they have some real thin shorts on, and most of them don't even have socks on. They done got so scripted down, they don't wear hardly anything because they don't want that weight. They don't want that weight to slow them down. And that's what you got to do. Once you get saved, some things not necessarily a sin, it's just a weight. You don't want that weight, my sister, to slow you down. And so I doubted, you know, her love. I have some doubts of her love for the Lord, because Job chapter 1, the scripture talks about how Job, because he loved God, so he shunned evil, or he removed himself from evil, or he avoided evil. Places like the nightclub are places that you need to avoid. See, the Bible talks about even the appearance of evil. We need to avoid it, even if it don't look right. If you know sin is taking place there, then you don't need to put yourself there. The Bible also says bad company corrupts good morals. So you don't need to be around bad company, because there in that nightclub, you're going to have, just because you done stopped drinking, a lot of other folks still drinking. Just because you done quit smoking, don't mean that other folks going to stop smoking. They going to have them a good time there at that nightclub. So I had some problems with, you know, her love. And then I had some problem with her just stopping at asking her husband as if her husband was the final authority. No, you need to ask God. You need to ask God. And I believe that if she would have asked God, then the Spirit would have shown her that she was out of line. And then the third thing that I had was her purpose for going to that nightclub, one witnessing, but her purpose in going to the nightclub was dancing. And so that was wrong in itself. And you can dance at home. You don't have to go to no nightclub to dance, because if you put yourself out there, just like a bait, you're gonna end up getting caught. Yeah. So don't put yourself out there. You don't need to be going to that nightclub by yourself. No. And if your husband ain't going, then you don't need to be going. You don't need to be going. And in all actuality, neither one of y'all need to go, because y'all are Christians now. And so the Bible tells us to come out of the world and be ye separated, said the Lord. But that was one question that we had on Tuesday, and then we had another question that was dealing with marriage, and another lady also called in to the Christian show and said that she'd been married for 9 months and her sex life was not enjoyable. She said that she's 29 years old and she was a virgin when she got married. And she lived a holy life. She didn't fornicate. And she kept herself pure for her husband. And now that she's married, she's somewhat disappointed with her sex life. And she was looking for some advice. And so my advice was her and her husband need to talk more. She need to talk more. When he's doing good, that's good. When he didn't do so good, then she needs to let him know that. Yeah, she needs to. She never, right now, you know, she probably feeling like, I don't want to hurt his feelings and stuff. Yeah, but you're not being satisfied. And see, you don't want the devil to start planting a seed in your heart that you need to go elsewhere to be satisfied. Because since your husband can't satisfy you, then you want somebody else to satisfy you. So you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there with those kinds of thoughts. So you need to just learn to communicate with your husband. You know, it's just like one man said that him and his wife, they talk about it, you know, their sex life. And when he do good, when they do good, it's like 100. But when they don't do good, it's like he done flunked the test. And so he flunked. And so it's kind of like sex is like a test. Either you, it was great sex, it was poor. And so you either passed with honors or you flunked out. And so when they flunk out, just like this person said, this guy said that when he flunks out, he asked his wife for a makeup exam, for a makeup test. And she give him a makeup test. And he said normally he do well on a makeup test. He do well the next time around. And he says that a lot of time the reason that he didn't do right the first time around is because he had a lot on his mind. Or either he was tired, one of the two. And but he said most of the time that if his mind is okay and if he's not tired, then they'll have a good time there in the bed. All right. Let's go on to the next one. The next one, on Wednesday, our co-worker said, her pastor said that we should try to be politically correct and not offend others by witnessing for Jesus. Is this right? Well, I said no. The Bible don't teach no politically correct, you know. Actually, that's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. That's really the problem with our world today. They want Christians to be politically correct. We don't want to offend the Muslims, and we don't want to offend the Jew, and we don't want to offend the Buddhists, and we don't want to offend the Hindu. But really, they are offend the Christians, but they want us to be politically correct. But God is not in no politically correct. No. See, the Bible says over in Philippians chapter 2 that there's going to come a day that every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we're not supposed to be politically correct. No. Matter of fact, that's why all of those disciples, Jesus' disciples, that's why they got killed. That's why they got killed. They weren't trying to play it safe. See, when you're trying to play it safe, then God can't use you. God can't use you. That's why churches are dying today, you know. That's what we was dealing with on Monday in this situation room here. We was dealing with how churches hurt themselves. And one of the ways churches hurt themselves, they're trying to be politically correct. Because, see, when you are a little bit of this and a little bit of that and trying to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that, then you're not much of anything. Yeah. Yeah. See, we're trying to set a table. We're trying to put a chair at the table for the Buddhists. We're trying to put a chair at the table for the Muslim. We're trying to put a chair at the table for the Hindu and for the Jew. And so, and then put a chair at the table for the Christian, and everybody sit at that one table and be like one big happy family and try not to offend each other. No, that don't work like that. That don't work like that. As a matter of fact, when I go somewhere and they ask me to pray, a lot of time I notice that people, they'll pray. Christians will pray, but they won't say in Jesus' name. If they know that you know, there's some other folks that have other religious persuasions, they just won't say in Jesus' name. But anytime I go somewhere, ladies and gentlemen, regardless who they're at the table, I'm gonna pray. If you ask me to pray, I'm gonna pray like I always pray. Wherever I go, whether I'm in my house, whether I'm at church, whether I'm at City Hall, whether I'm in a public meeting, if you ask me to pray, well, you're asking me as a Christian minister to pray. So I need to pray like I always pray. Yeah. And the same thing, when I'm around, you know, my Buddhist friends and Mohammed friends and stuff, I don't want them to not pray in their God name. I want them to pray in their God name. Yeah, you pray in your God's name. No, don't try to be politically correct just cause, you know, I'm sitting at the table. No, if we're gonna bless the food, go on and bless it. If they ask you and you Mohammed, go on and bless it in Mohammed's name, cause I'm gonna bless it in Jesus' name, you know. Anyway, amen. But and if they ask me to pray, you know, for everybody, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. Yeah. So God tells us to let our light shine. He don't tell us to put our light under a bushel. Yeah. He tells us to put it out in the open. A city that's set on the hill can't be hid. And I was saying on Wednesday how Solomon was the one that messed up because he tried to be politically correct, tried to satisfy all his wives, 700 wives, and was trying to build altars and shrines and temples and stuff to his foreign wives, and even set up a high place. And the high place was a place where there was a representative of all the different gods. And so So everybody could come there and worship their own God in their own way then. But God don't deal with us like that in the Bible. Matter of fact, God was upset with Solomon, and that was the downfall of Solomon's kingdom. He married them foreign wives, and the Bible said they turned his heart away from God. And listen, I don't want us to get our heart turned away from God. Oh, look like the clock on the wall is saying that's all for the Situation Room. Thank you for joining us today. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.